Hey everybody, it's Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshaw, and with me is, as always, Aaron Hagar, who's touching it safely. I like to see that, man.
Touching what?
That is called a finger sleeve. And Matt DeAndrea, moderator. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, on today's show, we're going to give some, as much as Matt can, a little bit of info, updates on that Ford Bronco. We're going to talk a little bit about how summer is linked to that automotive film. There were always so many launches. This year, no. But, you know, all those movies that came out, they got us interested in cars. And we're going to find out what our favorite films are that relate to cars. And we're going to talk about a classic American Graffiti. It's all happening today on Shift and Steer. But who's helping us do this, Matt?
Yeah, our friends at Geico. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Nah, it's not going to happen. As nice as that sounds, that's probably not going to happen anyway. So at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. You can save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com for more information. It's geico.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Jillian with Court Junkie. Court Junkie is a true crime podcast that covers court cases and criminal trials using audio clips and interviews with people close to the cases. Court Junkie is available on Apple Podcasts and podcastone.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Fanshaw, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
All right, guys. First off, I have to say, correction, Brad. I am no longer into cars. quilting is my life.
I knew it. That is why you called me and asked if I had a bunch of old t-shirts I could send you, wasn't it?
Yes. I was going to say all my old car t-shirts that I was going to take them to Goodwill. My wife said, why not use them in quilts? So I am now making the world's largest automotive t-shirt quilt.
that's awesome. You know, and Matt got into crocheting, and I'm into needlepoint. So, you know, yeah. We changed the whole
there you go.
From shift and steer well,
now,
to...
Now, Brad, if you're going to needlepoint, you have to suit up. You have to. Now, for you folks that do watch the video here, I've got one of his little touch-it safes. But I'd argue that it's not really a touch-it safe. It's actually my finger with a rubber band on it. And if you leave it long enough, it turns white. All right. Sorry, guys. It's been one of
guys,
those mornings.
You know, this is the exception this year. We know that everything's kind of, you know, spinning down the drain as far as automotive events that have been canceled and
madness
and trade shows and everything. You know, I was talking this morning to one of my friends who are in the entertainment industry, and they were saying how everything's getting canceled on their end. They thought, you know, everything keeps pushing. You know, it's oh yeah, we're going to, by August, we're going to be able to do it. Nope, that's canceled now. September, no, that's canceled now. Well, the one thing that we haven't hit on is those summer releases. Now, it used to be everybody lived for those, but with on-demand media, that's changed. But there's, you know, that summer releases still, I mean, wasn't Top Gun supposed to release like in June and now it's like put off till
yeah. Late?
But there's always been those automotive films. And I know we always have one film that we kind of remember a lot. You guys, what were your favorite films? Automotive.
Well, there's a couple things for me. There's there's a bunch of good films. I have it sort of in three categories. There's like, there's good films that had an iconic car, right? And that's memorable like, for you. Like Ferris Bueller.
No, like The Wraith.
Right. Like The Wraith. Like The Wraith. You know? And then there are some big action films that I think we love.
Like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Car. Yeah, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. There's a lot of action in that one. You know, like Gone in 60 Seconds and Baby Driver. But for me, I actually like the car films. I like, for example, fairly new, Ford v. Ferrari was great.
Yeah.
Rush was fantastic. Tells a good car story. I liked Tucker. I thought Tucker with Jeff Bridges was a great film. I love that.
Forgot about that one.
That one as well. So for me, I kind of like the car films that tell the car story or history of something. You know, Mad Max, that was definitely a story worthy piece. So I don't know. Those are a few of my top.
What about you, Aaron?
Well, just named all
there was a 68 film called Crazy Quilt. you know what? I'm trying to remember. It's like there's so many iconic films, but I have to put Mad Max in there. All of them.
Oh yeah,
because cars were a big part of that film. And boy, on the last one, they really went over the top. Because you know, I'm an apocalyptic rat rod kind of guy.
Well, but, I remember in the original one, my favorite part was where he would pull the lever to engage the supercharger. Mm-hmm. He'd be going down the road and all of a sudden he'd pull that lever and the supercharger
I always wondered. I remember as a kid going, how did he do that?
Exactly. I was like, wait a minute, I've never seen a blower like that.
You know,
but you can actually turn on a blower.
But it just was cool, you know. And you're right, in the newer ones they were rolling sculpture. But I think one of my favorites, that doesn't come up a lot, but I really dug it, was Hollywood Nights with that. It was KNIGHTS. Had Tony Danza, and he drove the Project X. Do you guys remember Project X from Popular Hot Rodding? The bright yellow 57 Chevy with the
floors. I love that car. That car
was redone. Every editor was gifted that car and said, redo it. And it finally ended up in that final incarnation where it had the supercharger, no hood, and it was bright yellow. And that car was the star of the movie. It was Tony Danza's car. And also in that film Tony Nancy, who I was friends with, and famous upholsterer from the 50s and 60s. Uh-huh. And he was the guru in the movie, you know. But Michelle Pfeiffer was in it, and a lot of other people. But
Remember that movie.
Dude, you got to watch it because there is all these great drag racing scenes where they're street racing. And one of the best ones is the guys have a 427 AC Cobra, and it's these two Japanese dudes. And they lead up to this race on the street. And it's really on Van Nuys Boulevard where they filmed it. And this Project 57 has a high stall converter. And, you know, he loads it up and he slams it. And that thing, it was so realistic for a street car because he started to get sideways. It's hopping like every car I ever raced on the street. and it's this great race between a 427 AC Cobra and a blown 57 Chevy, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, we can't forget, of course, all the James Bond movies. I mean, I think I'm still chasing a white Lotus Esprit Turbo.
Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned the great Tony Danza, I would say Cannonball Run 2.
Yes,
DeLuise.
How did that not even come up? Any of the Cannonball Runs? I mean,
Back to the Future. I mean,
I'm here, you know? Yeah. And the doctor,
young Jackie
the doctor
Chan
riding in the back of the ambulance.
Yeah,
perfect.
it's so many good cars in there. And then there was the great scene where Tony, I think it's not, is it Tony Danza? No, I don't know if he was in it, but it was the two girls were in the
Lamborghini.
The two girls. No, but then they switched to the tow truck.
Adrian Barbeau and
yeah, and yeah. And no. I forgot the tow truck guy. I forgot what actor that was.
Oh.
And then they kind of finished the race, and he's like, it's a four on the floor, 454, full house with a blower. And everyone's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And we're breaking it down, and we're like, it's, you know, 454 engine, and four on the floor is the four speed, which I don't think it was a four speed at all. I mean, automatic, not traditional. When he says full house, the best we were able to determine that was, Brad, you may be familiar with the term. It was an old school term, meaning like built motor or like fully built
motor. But yeah. You can take that two ways. It was a built motor or it was a full house because the two women were in it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But
that's what I would think.
I'm going to say in Brad's world, it meant built motor, because I don't think the other thing ever happened to Brad.
Hey. Now, one of the best parts was, do you remember the scene where they're getting chased by the Trans Am Highway Patrol, the two women in the Lamborghini? And he's going, you've been chasing him for 45 minutes and you still haven't caught him. And he goes, I'm just about ready to catch him. And then all of a sudden they come up behind him, because he had gone past and they pull, and they come up and they just kind of go, hi, and then, wah! And the scene that I remember going, wait a minute, was where they're getting chased by the police.
Yeah.
They pull in somewhere and do donuts while the fire hoses get them and wash their paint off. Remember, it was
purple
and it became white, like they had, oh, that was our secret weapon. Yeah, two women in a Lamborghini Countach in Missouri, yeah, they'd never guess it was the same car. You know.
Hey, do any guys remember Death Race 2000?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was my first custom car movie that I had ever seen, more than American Graffiti or any of those other ones. I think that was the one I remember from my childhood of being like, whoa, what is that? Like total off the planet, you know, more than Mad Max even back in the day, because those were apocalyptic. But these were like new designs. They were new creative, you know, character cars. So I'd attribute some to Death Race 2000.
I believe they remade that with Jason Statham.
And then
they did like a half a dozen like direct to video. That's
Which
the right
bad.
Term. You know, versions.
For B-movies, they're actually pretty decent. Yeah.
Did, and you guys help me on this. I remember seeing, it might have been Cannonball Run, where there was a scene where the Ferrari Daytona was going across the desert, and there was a like a jet propelled helicopter, and it was a police copter, and the guy gears it and the car goes, and they go, we can't keep up with it. And I'm going, okay, is that real? Could a jet propelled helicopter get beat on a straightaway flat out by a Ferrari Daytona? Do you remember this?
Yeah,
I remember that.
But that wasn't in Cannonball Run 2. I believe that was the one with Raul Julia.
Okay.
The original Cannonball movie. But also that scene was sort of an homage, like recreation in Gone in 60 Seconds, when he's running through the L.A. River and the helicopter's going after him and Eleanor, and he hits the nitrous, the Gone Baby Gone button, the famous button, and he's like, 140, 150, 160, he's gone. And the helicopter's like, forget it, I'm not doing it. And then
in Cannonball, they're in a flat out, like in the plains of the United States. And it's like, okay, now would that really happen? I think we need to recreate.
All right.
I'm afraid of the helicopter pilot.
Are you going to get the Daytona or the helicopter?
Well, I'll arrange the helicopter and the pilot. So somebody's got to get the Daytona.
Dad's got the Daytona.
Let's do it.
There you go.
If he's willing to do it, let's go out and do it, because I know my buddy would do it. So we just go up in the high desert. Maybe we can recreate it out
movies.
At like Edwards Air Force Base or something.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say too that even the Indiana Jones films, my wife named her Jeep Indy after the Indiana Jones films, which she's recently watched for the first time. And you know, they always had like the old military Jeeps and trucks and motorcycles, sidecars, you know, and the airplanes, the single wing, you know. There was, you'd be surprised, you can find in every great film there was that one iconic car, automobile, motorcycle, truck.
You know, a movie, a good movie that came out that wasn't meant to be a car movie is now on the list of every top great car movies is Ronin.
Oh.
Ronin with Robert De Niro and I forgot the other guy's name.
I forgot about the French guy.
Because the chase scenes in there just ended up being like just a feat in sound editing and recording. Like the Audis and the BMWs that they were running around in was just fantastic sound editing in that. And I mean, on some level, you can say that about a lot, you know, recent like Jason Bourne movies and things like that. But Ronin's always on a list. It just turned into a great car movie. And when they were doing their heist, one of the things the guy said he wanted was nitrous for his Audi. So that's a good one when it comes to sound.
One of the things that has excelled the whole chase scene are the GoPros and things like that. I spoke with a producer of a film, and Matt, you used to wear the t-shirt all the time. I had him on my old show, and he came on right before the film dropped, and I can't remember the name of it now. The Getaway. And he told me that he went through 500 GoPros where his attitude was fantastic. As long as the chip survived, that's all he cared. So when the cars would run into each other and like that, he didn't care if the GoPros were all over and they got, because he would go salvage it and get that real impact of the car coming right at him. And it's changed the whole thing. You wouldn't do that with a Panavision camera.
Especially because they're usually rented.
This all leads up to one of the most iconic automotive films of all time. And I was thumbing through the Hemmings website, and they had this incredible article about little known facts about American Graffiti. Mm-hmm. And for those of you listening that haven't seen American Graffiti, well, shame on you. But you call yourselves a car guy. No, but you should go back and see it if you haven't seen it. If you have, got to watch it again. I mean, what was your first impression when you guys saw it? Because I know when I first saw it, it was what I was living at the time, you know, because that came
out. Well, that's right, because you're old. I forgot about that.
It was set in 1962, which... way before my time, but in 1980, when I was cruising the streets of Omaha, Nebraska in my big black Chevelle, I wanted to live what they were living. You know, I was doing street racing. I was hanging out at the burger stand. We would go from the burger stand to what we called the dam site, where, you know, it was the party place. And it was so authentic for me. And I mean, how about you guys? When you saw it for the first time?
I don't remember.
I don't remember when I saw it for the first time, but I remember seeing it because everyone was telling me it was a good car movie. It could have even been like my dad at the time going, "Oh no, you like this movie? You know, it's got all the good cars in it. And you like cars." I remember seeing that. So I remember at a young age watching it and going, let's skip past the guys chasing the girls and the getting the burgers, and let's just get more to the cars, and let's get to the race, and let's get to Harrison Ford and his Tri-5 Chevy. What was his Chevy? 56?
It was a 55.
55?
Yeah. It was the actual car from Two Lane Blacktop.
Yeah. Getting to that. And then I just remember the kind of like, I don't know the exact line, but you know, the hero car, the hot rod, you know, he goes and he comes back and he's like, "Whoa, he just put the headers on it." And I was like, "Oh, it's going to make a huge difference." I was like, he's going to go from 285 to 295 horse. It's really going to haul.
That is the worst thing about some car films and so many of them, where they make some statement, you know, like the guy will go, some actor who knows nothing about cars or whoever wrote it, and they go, "Oh yeah, man, it's a V8 with 900 horsepower, and I just put a T10 automatic in it with a narrowed, widened rear end."
What? It's narrow and wide. One that comes up all the time that we have fun with on CarCast is Transformers, where Megan Fox has the Camaro, and she opens the hood, and she's like, She's like, yes, a Holley double pumper in the high rise. They open the hood. It's got an 8-stack injection in it. It's got, and we actually had her husband, Brian Austin Green from 90210. We had him on the show. He's a friend. We did some events and stuff with him. And we played the scene of the movie. And of course, he had fun with it. He's like, hey, man, it's not her job to know the engine. It's her job to read the script. Blame the writers. Blame the camera guy. It was like, and I was like, all right, fair enough. Fair
enough. Job to read the script editing right there.
Yeah.
It's like the films, and I remember Starsky and Hutch was the worst, where every interior shot, you see the column shifter, but every shot is the soundtrack's a 4-speed. Wait a minute, man.
Yeah. By the way, Dukes of Hazzard, I don't think you can jump the same car again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah. Especially when you see the wheel fall off of the landing.
Yeah, and you see it bend up.
Well, no, it's when you see it land and the front end goes and
just pancakes.
You know, it's just like, wow, and they drove away. Next scene, there's no dents. But
car chase, we should have a whole show just on car chase continuity.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The hubcap rolls off, and then the next scene, it's back on.
Right, yes. The whole front end smash, and the next scene, it's perfect.
I'm telling you, one of those scenes that continues to bug me every time, for example, and then we'll move on to the other stuff, is every time you watch Miami Vice and they had the white Testarossa, the hero car was like a kit car, but yeah. It's funny because it was you see the hero car. I'm sorry, the stunt car was a kit car. The hero car is the Testarossa, which little fun fact: Ferrari delivered it to them black because the Daytona was black, and they said we don't want to film it on camera black because we want to do the night scene, so they painted it white. But Ferrari sent them the Testarossa because Enzo Ferrari said, I hate that you're using a fake Daytona. He said, we will send you a Testarossa, but the condition is you have to blow up that Daytona on camera. Yeah. That's why the car exploded in the episode where he got the other car. And so you see the white Testarossa.
Another fun fact is that kit car that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Next time you watch it, look at the wheels on it. We made them at Boyd's.
That's what I was getting to. What I was getting to was the white Testarossa, the hero car. Then they go to the stunt car. It has billet wheels on it from you guys.
Dude, it was a Fiero.
And it had, like, no rear bumper on it. And it was just like – and every time you slide around the corner, you're like, what happened? Why has he got the deep dish billet wheels on it? He's got the no bumper. Cut to Testarossa. Those scenes always bug me.
That was your fault. For lack of
continuity. That was totally your fault, Brian.
I didn't write the script. Just like Brian Austin Green, I just supplied the wheel.
But you got the photos.
I also have photos of those guys wearing Vision streetwear in episodes. But the back to what you were talking about changing the color.
Yeah.
Milner's 32 Ford that he drove in the film, American Graffiti, that came to the set red, and on the first night of filming, they said, this isn't going to work. It blends in, just like black Testarossa. So they painted it bright yellow, and the interior was white, and they dyed it black because it's those things they got to change. What's amazing about it is we go through time, and we see so many things change, and it's not always just technology like we talked about the GoPros. You look at when that film ceased production, the cars all went up for sale. That was a 32 Ford with a small block that had, you know, twin two barrels on it. It had a super T10 transmission, 411 gears. It was, you know, a narrowed 57, and it was a real steel car. It took them over a year to sell that car in the classifieds, and when they did, they got $1,500 for it.
And it had a Chevy engine, didn't it? It was a Ford with a Chevy engine.
Oh yeah, it had a small block. But
what's wrong with people?
They're waiting now. There's people that go to the production companies and go, okay, I want to buy your cars when it's done. And then, you know, that's a whole
You
mean Jeff Allen?
Exactly, yeah. And you know the 58 Impala that Toad drove. Excuse me, that car, which is super valuable today and owned by Ray Everham as part of his collection, it went in the classifieds. They sold it for like $258. I mean, you couldn't buy a part for that car today. And the story about it was is that the kid driving it home, like some 16-year-old kid driving it home, the brakes went out and the taillights fell off. And sounds like every movie car I've seen.
Yeah. I think they hot glue movie cars together.
Yeah. But I mean, there was a lot of famous people in that movie that weren't famous at the time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who comes to mind for you guys? I mean, you already said Harrison Ford, Matt. You know, Suzanne Summers, who had her brief little appearance. And,
Ron Howard was in it too, right?
Yeah, Ron Howard.
Yeah.
And they're all so young. How does that
You know, the Lucas Circle. It was the Lucas Circle.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Ford Coppola was the co-producer. That's how it got on. I guess they were going to make it a made-for-TV movie. That just wouldn't have. It's no. I guess, other than Hollywood Nights, I would say Animal House would be my other favorite car movie.
Listen, don't discount Fast Time in Ridgemont High.
Oh, absolutely, man. There was a VW bus in there that they were totally stoned. you can go through so many of them. What was the film that my wife was watching the other day? It's got Molly Ringwald and it's like 16 Candles or something.
16 Candles? Yeah.
Well, there's the Mini Cooper in Some Kind of Wonderful. That definitely sparked it for me too.
And it was either Pretty in Pink or 16 Candles where she's the guy's driving the 944 Turbo and then the girl's driving a Rolls Royce Corniche. And I mean, it's just like.
Yeah. That's 16 Candles. That's 16 Candles.
Yeah. It's bitching.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
So anyways, hey, you've got some info to tell us about the Bronco.
Yeah, let me touch on that. And if we got some time, I want to ask Aaron about this kind of a Defender knockoff truck. But this one will tell you about the Bronco. There's information still coming out as we are recording this. Most of it is embargoed, but hopefully by the time you hear this, some of this will be out. I don't have the full specs.
Where is that? You left it somewhere?
Yeah, it's in Wisconsin. The new Bronco. First of all, Ford is creating Bronco as a brand now with multiple vehicles like they're doing with Mustang, right? With the Mustang Mach-E and their whole lineup of Mustang cars from EcoBoost up to GT500. We know we're getting a Bronco four-door, we're getting a two-door, and we're getting a Bronco Sport, which is a small SUV.
Can you hold on 1 second? I want to make a new rule here on Shift and Steer. Every time we say Bronco, Aaron and I have to go, yeehaw!
I ain't doing it.
And then take a drink. It. Yeah. the Bronco, the two-door and the four-door, you guys are going to be fascinated by this because the vehicles are almost completely modular. Everything can bolt on and off of that vehicle from the factory. Wow. So you can get all sorts of configurations from the fender flares and the doors and the hood and the grill. Everything is meant to bolt on and off. And they actually have a Bronco in the top, every one of the bolt heads on there. What's cool about it is when that gets into the aftermarket as well, organizations like SEMA, when they start releasing the CAD data and all that stuff, it's going to be very easy to make even more products for it. But you can take that thing from a fully enclosed hardtop SUV, strip it down to a fully open, doorless, topless SUV, and any combination in between. It's got some pretty cool stuff. Another cool feature about it is when they were designing it, and instead of clay model now, everything is basically 3D printed, they didn't want it to sit in the middle of the room flat on the ground, so they put it up all on its side and kind of tilted and show the articulation with the suspension, and they climbed in and out of it to put more focus on where do we put grab handles and how do we get in, and they realized all their stuff was like falling off the dash and out the door that they took off. So there is a snap-on or like bolt-on bar that goes across the entire dash on top of the dash. and it's an accessory bar. You can bolt on whatever you want. There's there's iPhone holders and Android holders and GoPro holders, and you can slide them anywhere you want up and down that bar. So now you have like unlimited interior accessories that you can bolt on and off. Just a lot of cool stuff they put in to the development of this thing.
And just to remind everybody, what kind of vehicle is this?
It is.
Brad just wants to do the yeehaw. Come on.
It's a Ford Bronco.
Woohoo!
There you go. There you go. Anyway, a lot more coming out on that. It's Ford, as we know, is going to have 200 or more dealer available accessories for it. And that's before it gets to the aftermarket, which
is exciting, man.
It's pretty cool. I mean, you can hose out the interior. You can pull plugs in the floor if you want and drain the water out. Like it's really, really cool. The amount of stuff that they're doing to it. Now I don't have the performance specs, like how quick it is and the engines available. I'll have it by the time you hear this show. So we'll cover it next week and put it up on social media as well. But It's pretty cool, you know, in the off-road world that Aaron lives in, you're going to like it.
Indeed.
What do you mean?
Not out of this world. I meant like off-road,
the way the park.
Oh, I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
For that.
Aaron, tell us about the other truck that you saw.
Yeah. So speaking of off-road, so we've got the Grenadier or Grenadier, which is kind of a throwback to Land Rover. A very, very wealthy man, Jim Ratcliffe, is working with Steyr, actually, who I believe built the Pinsgauer and builds the G-Wagons, to kind of continue in the Land Rover Defender market. So I don't know if it's rumor. I think they've got a couple prototypes. I don't know if they're taking orders. It's there's not a lot of information, but they're talking about like 25,000 units out of England. In Germany, and this thing should be cool. If you look at it, it is. They have like a 130 style two-door pickup truck. They have the full, you know, the full 110. But it was really interesting. The story was really interesting that I was reading, because I guess he tried to buy the rights to the Defender title and couldn't get it. And I guess they got in some sort of lawsuit with Land Rover, because Land Rover tried to restrict the idea of the profile and how it looked. And I guess, I don't know if they went to court over what. There's all kinds of, the rumor mill is running wild on this one, but it's pretty cool. It's definitely a throwback looking thing. It's got the Alpine windows up on the top, which those little quarter windows, meaning you sit high inside the vehicle for observing. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It looks like it's going to come with the diesel so far, but it's the Ineos. Yeah, it's Ineos Grenadier, I guess is how it's said.
The idea with these guys was these guys thought that the new Defender would be upscaled like a lot of the Land Rover clientele, and they were right. And it looks cool, very modern and cool, the new Defenders. But they were thinking, hey, what about some people that would like a new sort of stripped down, Overlander version of it? And yeah, I don't know where they are with.
Well, not if it's made by G-Wagon.
Yeah, right. I don't know where they are with their trademarks and copyrights and things like that. But this truck does look pretty cool. I'm curious to see how it rides, but it looks like it'd be fun.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm kind of excited about that. I like the throwback stuff, you know, like the Bronco and like the FJ Cruiser, and I like when they retro them out a bit. You know, not the PT Cruiser. Mind you.
Well,
let me clarify that.
Yeah.
Who's the builder in Orange County? I'm trying to remember. Are they called Tank? There's the guy in Orange County that's building those really angular off-road trucks. They're super premium, high-end. You can order them.
Yeah. We've seen those at SEMA. They're wild looking, man.
I follow him on Instagram. I'll bring it up next show. We should go down and visit him, because I'm amazed at how many of these things he's selling around the world. And
you see him at SEMA every year too.
And I don't even know what chassis they're using or what they're basing it off of, or if they're building their own. But he came out with an armored one that some celebrity bought, and this thing was crazy. And then I saw another one what's the loudmouth conspiracy guy that got banned from YouTube and everything? Do you guys know who I mean?
Which one?
Logan yeah, Paul.
What?
Logan Paul.
Alex Jones.
Okay. Not even close.
So, look him up and you'll see, man. This guy's. So Alex Jones bought one of these things, and he was in downtown Houston, and he drove through like this protest, and he was on his, you know, going, this is the government just trying to get everybody against everything. And they pieced together this video where he had GoPros inside, and then they made it with protesters who filmed it from the outside. These guys broke a street sign off, and they go up and they're bashing this thing. And you can hear the protesters going, it's not doing anything. It wasn't scratching anything. I mean, it's just, it's like flat black. And it's like painted with Line-X, you know? And
And
the windows aren't breaking or anything. And there's people hitting it with baseball bats. And, I mean, it was like the best ad for this company ever. And, you know, that was the best thing about it. So,
all right, guys, the clock has run out.
Yes.
And we're going to have to wrap it up, you know, until next week, guys.
Alexa, play Airhorn.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.